It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this opportunity to hear your word meet us in the text, tale of the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might hear and heed what you have to say. And God, we'd be ever so careful to give you all praise and glory as you reveal the principles to practice. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and the people of God said, amen. 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 Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Recorded are these words. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, think it over. Think it over. There comes a time in man's own reasoning, in the wisdom of his own conceit, that he thinks he can outsmart God. Think that he can do in the dark what God is unable to see. Think that he can, by his own worldly wisdom, act, react, or counteract the word, the will, and the way of God without consequences. And one of the things today that I hope we will get out of this word is that we will think it over, think again, revisit the fact that God knows best. And one of the things that I think is so important about understanding, if you will, Isaiah speaking here on behalf of the Lord, he makes clear that there are some things, some responsibility that the people of God must be clear about. He starts off in verse 1 and he walks through talking about the ability to be able to buy that God offers them without cash or credit. And that God was introducing was this thing called grace by way of a gift. It's the same ability in today's time when we receive a gift certificate or a gift card. We can buy and not have cash or credit. But because of the gift that cost somebody else something, the gift card that someone else paid for, we're still able to shout. God was introducing this concept to his own people that the grace that they would experience would come at the cost of his son, Jesus Christ. That he would, in fact, bring to mankind the ability to enter into God's righteousness, into God's holiness, and experience life on another level. In verse 6, he admonishes them to seek the Lord while he may be found. He says, you need to think it over. Some of you think that you don't have to seek God while you're enjoying life, while you're young, while things are going your way, while you're having fun. But time waits for no one to make up their mind. Young folk are dying, old folk are dying, middle folk are dying, babies are dying, people are dying every day, every stage of life, and you need to think it over in terms of your opportunity to seek God as your personal Savior. Then he says you need to think it over. Listen, call upon him while he's near. That simply says to us that there is going to be a time when God removes his invitation. He will not be there with hands and arms stretched out wide. And when that time comes, when God removes the opportunity to come to him and to call upon him, it'll be too late for you. Some of us think we have the opportunity to wait until a better time is over. I never shall forget when I gave my life to the Lord as a young boy, and when I began to move in the things of God, I had older people say, boy, are you sure you want to do this? I had them questioning my conviction. I had them questioning whether or not I knew what I was doing. You're so young. You got all your life ahead of you. Why don't you just wait and enjoy a little life first? You haven't even begun to live. But how strange is it that folk who don't have godly life know what godly life is all about? They don't know what living is because they've never lived. They've existed and gotten by on the ways of the world and the instincts of mankind, but they don't know God's living is so much higher and better than man's. Think about it. He says, the wicked forsake your way. Why? Because everything you do is coming up again. I say it again, everything you do, it's coming up again. Whether you do it in the light, whether you do it in the night, it's coming up again. Whether you do it by yourself, whether you do it with others, it's coming up again. Every lie you've told, everything you've stolen, everything that's not like God, it's coming up again. And what you need to understand is while there is breath in your body, you need to forsake your way. For the word says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can think you got it going on. You're the player from the Himalayas. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Forsake the wicked, forsake his way. That means you give up that foolishness. God won't take anything from you that you want to hold on to. And when you want to give it up, God will help you give it up. But you have got to forsake your way. I just can't help it. I was born like that. Really? David said, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. No, you weren't born like that. You learned that. That's learned behavior. You believe the wrong report. Question is, whose report will you believe?
man's report. Even in Christendom, you got some preachers preaching now because man told them they sounded like a preacher. Boy, you look like a preacher. All of those things that God himself does not place as a value for calling one to preach. We've allowed people to redirect our destiny because we did not allow God to have his will in our lives. And so then we realize, he says, in the unrighteous man, his thoughts, let him forsake his thoughts. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So God is saying, listen, you got to think it over. You got to change the way you think. And in order to change the way you think, listen, proper content produces proper character. Proper character produces proper consequences. You can't have proper consequences if you don't have proper character. You can't have proper character if you don't have proper content. And you can't have proper content unless you have the Word of God. Amen. Every word of God is pure. It's holy. It's righteous. And so you have got to wash your thoughts. You have got to be renewed in your mind. You've got to be transformed. All of this has to do with the thought processes. And God makes, listen at this, a divine declaration. Here's what he declares. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. That's a divine declaration. God is declaring that he has eternal excellence at play. Everything he thinks and everything he does is excellent. You can't beat excellent. You can't beat perfection. God says in Malachi, I am the Lord. I change not. Well, why would I change when I got it all perfect? Why would I redo what's already done perfectly? Listen, he knows every thought. He knows everything you're going to think. He knows even the pulling of the reins of your mind in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. He says, I know what you think and what you think you're about to think. I know all of the thoughts that you've ever even thought before you think it. So when you think you've thought a new thought, it's an old thought to me. You can't be God's thinking. God knows everything there. That's why he tells us, come unto him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Stop trying to do it the hard way and do it the right way. Listen, you can't get to God except you come through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. You can't go around him. You can't come in through the back door, through the windows. You can't come in no way other than the front door, which is the proper way. He's made all of that clear in his word. You've got to know him for yourself. Now I got to throw this out parenthetically just in case you missed it. He was talking to his own people. Though this sound like a word for the world, it was for his own people. Listen, In his divine declaration, he declares there's not one of us who can think like him. Now listen to this. The thought process is connected with the walk process.
All right.
What you think ultimately becomes how you walk.
Amen.
If your thoughts change, your walk changes. How many would be honest and say when they were, let me just say, before they were in Christ, when they were out there in the world, they had a swagger in their walk that seemed to suggest I'm all of that. You know, and they walked and they were hip, they just had this air about them that was all wrapped up in self. It was a walk that said, look at me. It was a walk that broadcast, I am walking so you can see me, and I want you to see that I got it going on. But then when you got saved, you changed that walk. It wasn't all about all of that stuff that was temporal and carnal. It was about walking right. It was about walking circumspect. It was about walking holy. It was about having a purpose. And when I walk, I'm on my way somewhere. I'm not just walking to be walking. I'm on my way. The king's business requires haste. You can tell folk that walk and ain't got nowhere to go. There's a difference in not only their step, but their pace. Yeah, folk that's on their way somewhere, walk with a sense of urgency, walk with a sense of purpose, but people who just looking for something, all looking to be seen, walk with a certain something that ain't worth nothing. Yeah. And so when you learn that your thoughts, what you think, translates into how you walk, then it behooves us to change our thought processes. To begin to walk like God means I have to know God's word. I have to know God's will. And I have to know God's way. And then as I walk, then I let my light so shine that men may see my good works and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. I'm not trying to show the spotlight on me, shine it and direct it on me. I'm trying to give God the glory. And if any of the glory comes to me, I'm ushering it up to him. He deserves the glory. Not some of it, not piece of it, not part of it. He deserves all of the glory. Then the next part of that verse 9, he deals with dramatic differences. He said not only does he make a divine declaration, but he also deals with dramatic differences. Amen. What are those differences? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. They're higher in every respect and regard. There is no competition. You can't even begin to think like God. And the closest that you'll ever get in thinking like God is to get in his word.
Yes.
That's why the record says, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. But the mind comes from the written, revealed word of God, the Bible. Christ was the word personified. He was the living word. He was the word in the beginning. He was the word, listen, that came to earth and dwelt among men. And if we're ever gonna get close to him, be like him, think like him, talk like him, walk like him, it's going to be because we have read and studied the word.
That's right.
My thoughts become godly thoughts when the content of my mind becomes greater than the content of the world. When I start putting into my mind the things of God and start thinking and meditating upon his word and start allowing that to fill my spirit man, then my thought processes then process the word that I put in me, and that is what it starts utilizing as my thought processes, as my thought pattern. Listen, it's important to understand that when you recognize God wants us to think like him, you cannot do it separate and disconnected from him.
Amen, amen.
Here's what Jesus says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Guess what he said? You can ask the Father whatever you want.
Amen.
And he'll do it for you. Now, did you hear what Jesus said? In other words, when you let your mind be the mind of God and then process that, out of the abundance of the heart will the mouth speak. Listen, when that word fills you up and get down on the inside of you, you'll find your words and your thoughts and your expressions being godly expressions. You just study the word long enough. Meditate upon it long enough. Start speaking it long enough. And ain't nobody got to tell you stop cussing.
All right now.
The word will start washing all of that out of you.
All right now.
Look, ain't nobody got to tell you stop thinking about this, stop doing this, because the word starts creating a change in you. It changes your appetite. It changes your activity. It changes your ambitions.
Oh, yeah.
And you become different.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Pastor. Yeah.
Different. Because the word makes the change.
Yes.
And so God introduces a dramatic difference before us that makes sense for us to investigate. For as high as the heavens, or for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Now the heavens, Paul refers to the third heaven, which means there are three levels to heaven. There are areas of heaven that are a part of the cosmos and graduate on to the part and place where God resides. But let's just deal with the cosmos. Let's just deal with the world or the heavens we know about. Because when Paul received that revelation, he had to admit, I didn't know if I was sleeping or was in a vision or a trance. He said, when God showed me what he showed me, first thing he told me is, don't tell nobody.
All right, now.
He said, it's unlawful for him to speak those things because they were so rich and so wonderful. And here's what is part of what I believe. God knew that they wouldn't have believed it anyhow. Some things are too wonderful for us to comprehend, for us to believe, because our pattern of thinking usually shuts out those things we cannot conceptualize. And if we've not experienced them, then we don't believe they can happen. So look at what he says. For
For as the heavens are higher than the earth. I said earlier, I was on a flight. And the captain came over the PA system and introduced himself to those of us flying and said, good afternoon. We are flying at a height of 30,000 feet. If you look to the right of the cabin, you'll see mountains and so forth and so on. And he named what mountains they were. And he said, if you look to the left, you'll see rivers and so forth and what they were and so forth on. And then he said, it's a beautiful day and 72 degrees. And we'll be arriving in that city we were going to in such and such time. Sit back and relax. Enjoy the flight. And I happened to do that, and I just looked down. And I saw cars and trucks looking like ants and water bugs. That small. I saw great big skyscrapers looking like Lego playsets. Everything that was gigantic and tall and big here from 30,000 feet looked minuscule. And I said, my God, what a difference. What a difference 30,000 feet made. We flew over the clouds. The clouds on that day were suspended in mid-air like great balls of cotton hanging on nothing. And I was amazed as they meandered among the sky with no conceivable connection to anything. And then when I got to thinking about that, I researched what was 30,000 feet in miles. Discovered it was 5.68 miles, or 5.68 miles, which meant it was just over a little over 5.5 miles at 30,000 feet. And when I thought about that, I'm like, look at how small things look at 30,000 feet. And God said, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so am I higher than you. Yes. And I said, at 30,000 feet, he's got to be higher than this. Oh, no. Then I remembered the sun and looked that up again, and it said the sun was 93 million miles, not 5.68 miles, 93 million miles away from Earth. And I'm like, my God, look at the dramatic difference. But then I didn't stop there. I wanted to know what was the furthest planet from Earth. And the furthest planet from Earth was Neptune. And Neptune was 4.4 billion light years. And I said, well, now I know what 4.4 billion is, but what is light years? And when I looked up and discovered the difference in miles of light years, it was 27 trillion T. 27 trillion miles away from Earth. Listen now, the furthest planet is 27 trillion miles. Our national deficit is only 17 trillion. And Neptune is 27 trillion miles away. And that ain't even where God lives. That's still in the lower heavens. So how much higher is God than we are? You begin to think about that, my brothers. I know why you're quiet, because you can't figure that out right now. I know you don't, but you got to admit that's pretty high. That's higher than anything you can conceive. 27 trillion miles away, and that don't even begin to showcase where God lives. So you need to think again. If you think, you can outthink God. Why would you make plans and not consult a God who knows everything from eternity to eternity? Why would you try and figure your life out
without going to the one who know why he gave you life in the first place? Why would you try to do things your way instead of